Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Bay LA Podcast, your home for everything Lakers, Warriors, and news from around the association. I'm Casey. Alongside me, my fellow co-host, Roman Bombesti. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing well. Can't complain. But before we start getting into things, if you guys can please like, rate, subscribe, you know, the whole works, wherever you get your podcast from. And as always, thank you very much for taking the time to listen to us talk. We really appreciate it. But yeah, so let's just get into it. Warriors defeat the Pelicans 106-124. They improved to a 3-1 record. Pretty dominating performance again. I mean, at least the second half. First half was a bit questionable.
Yeah. But yeah, it was ugly early. It didn't seem like the Warriors were able to find any consistent offensive looks, and they were just kind of getting beat everywhere on the floor. But yeah, things kind of turned around after the first half.
Yeah, that first half, I was pretty concerned, especially that first quarter. I was texting the group chat like, oh, this game's so ugly, getting all pessimistic and stuff, because yeah, they just couldn't get anything going. Like, and they were playing, you know, good enough defense, but they, you know, Ingram and Zion just kept, they couldn't be stopped, and they still finished with like 30, 31 points respectively. But yeah, the Pelicans went on some pretty big runs. Like, I think at one point, the second quarter, I think it was like a 15-0 run. And then Lindy Waters comes in, hits a layup, breaks the dry spell, and I think the rest is history.
As the Lindy Waters game is decided. Yes. He's here.
Lindy Waters has arrived. He is here. And
along with the rest of, you know, the team, but he got 31 minutes.
31 minutes. Steve Kerr could not take him off the floor. And let's just pull up the box score real quick.
8 for 13.
Yeah, you can't argue that. And the shots he's taking, like, they looked confident. He looks confident out there. And yeah, another great find for Mike Dunleavy.
Yeah, great pickup option. I was just kind of blown away watching him. Like, there was just a level of confidence out there every time he saw the ball, and when it got to him, it just seemed like he knew exactly what he wanted to do, and then he just executed. Like, there wasn't any hesitation. He didn't look like he was kind of lost. He seemed to fit the system pretty well as it was being run out there. It was impressive to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I think once he started heating up, I think the rest of the team kind of followed suit. Another thing too is they were playing really good team defense, like just hounding the ball and making life hard for the ball handlers that New Orleans have. But yeah, on a night where your depth is really going to be tested because you're missing Steph Curry with his ankle injury, you're missing D'Anthony Melton and Andrew Wiggins with lower back injuries, I think the depth earned a passing grade.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, this was a necessary night for all of these guys that, I mean, Steve Kerr is always going to find, you know, minutes here and there for, to kind of make sure that everyone is still, you know, warm and ready to play. Because I mean, I was surprised that Gary Payton didn't play a lot more for how good he was playing.
Yeah, I think Gary Payton was a huge part of the game last night. I don't think they win without him. Like, just him on the defensive end of the ball, being that on-ball pest that he is, and just, or just having his hands kind of everywhere and getting loose on the fast break. Like, yeah, I thought GP2 had a great game, and I'm surprised to see him at a -3. I'm not a huge plus-minus guy. But like,
yeah, it's a weird stat to track, you know, effectiveness on the court and impact. But the eye test tells tells the real story. And
yeah, absolutely.
What we both watched, like as you're saying, just his on-ball defense, just getting after it, pressuring CJ McCollum every time he's bringing the ball up, like it was exactly what they needed. And it was, yeah, he did great. But like, he only found that many minutes because, I mean, everyone else was just playing efficiently and effectively too. I mean, Kuminga off the bench with his 28 minutes, he seemed to do a lot better. Like, yes. I really liked his production. He seemed a lot more confident and, I mean, functional in the offense.
And that's another story too, is Jonathan Kuminga coming off the bench, because I don't know how long before tip off the news was broke that he was going to be coming off the bench, but maybe a couple hours. But anyways,
yeah,
I'm sure you saw the Sham Charania, the image of Jonathan Kuminga and just benched in just giant letters, and
giant, like, box text,
so
right there.
Crazy. And I'm
and
sure,
he's looking,
like,
up at the tweet of him being benched above.
Insane. But like, I'm sure I'm sure he didn't make he had no part of making the graphic, he just put it out there. But anyways,
yeah.
Like, just seeing something like that, for, you know, like you're Jonathan Kuminga and you see something like that, and this is huge contract year, there's all this, you know, like, I don't want to say pressure, but there is, I'll just say pressure. There's this pressure to put up big player numbers because you want to be a big player. And the way that the tweet kind of was, or the image kind of looked, it kind of looked like a demotion, but like, it really was not, because like you just said, he played 28 minutes, which is arguably more minutes than he'd play if he was in the starting lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely found a few extra minutes there. I wouldn't have expected him to get really too far past 20 minutes coming off the bench like this, but yeah, it seems like everyone kind of got, a bit of run. Pods played 34 minutes and I mean, he did great getting put in that starting lineup. I think that the starting lineup was an excellent, rotation to put together. I really liked that lineup myself.
I agree.
Another just getting Moody thing in the starting spot too is nice.
Yeah, Moody also I think had a really good but quiet game.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see on the plus minus column, it's a minus four, but he shot the ball really well. 6 for 8.
Yeah,
5 and 6 from three, and just had just had your solid Moses Moody game. But bringing back to Pajemski, he also kind of like GP2, just all over the place, everywhere.
Hustle,
heart. You love to see it. And I know I kind of dogged on plus minus just now, but he does lead the league in plus minus with the plus 74.
I mean, yeah, there is some degree of merit to the archaic value associated with plus minus.
Yeah.
But like, it does mean something when you're a rotation guard in a guard heavy team and you're being that effective. And then, yeah, when you're getting 34 minutes and you're ending plus 17 with, I mean, a pretty good shooting night overall for him compared to the rest of the team. Like it was everything you needed to see out of someone just kind of filling in for that role.
For sure. And Potts has gone on record saying like how much he doesn't like playing with the protective mask on and that he's constantly having to adjust it. And I'm sure, like, I couldn't imagine playing with something like that on my face, especially like a game so fast paced and like,
oh yeah,
and like the contact and, you know, all the variables.
I would just imagine it like has some effect on your peripheral vision.
Yes.
Which, you know, like, is super important in basketball, knowing where people are, if you're trying to make a pass, how to lead someone if they're in the corner of your eye, or if you're seeing them go behind a defender that's right in front of you, like that obstruction to your vision must be some problem and have an effect for sure. I would absolutely hate it. I would just rip it off and throw it away.
Yeah, I'm sure he can't wait to do that.
Yeah. I know, just being smart and keeping it on, but
but yeah, man, Pods had a great game. And then, of course, we got to talk about second half, buddy.
Buddy, man. Buddy brought it second half.
Buddy brought it second half. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, I mean, it was just, yeah, fully nuclear. He was just lights out. He saw the ball, he shot the ball, and it went in. It was amazing. Crazy. Defenders on top of him, like, just shit that you weren't really expecting to go in. It's just like, oh, he's just throwing up a shot, end of the shot clock, defenders right on him.
And it's in. It's in there.
Splash.
I think he finished the second half. I got it right here. 8 for 10. Hmm. 8 for 10. Finished the game. 28 points. Yeah, I mean, for first half, I was kind of concerned because I saw Buddy, like, you know, he was shooting and it looked like he was kind of slumping a little bit. And I'm like, oh no, like this can't be. Like, he's been so good.
Yeah, don't get in your head. Don't lose the confidence. Yeah. Like, trust your shot.
But he's all right. And you see Steph too, like, fired up on the bench. Yeah. Like,
love it.
It feels great, man. Like, watching this team is a lot of fun. Even if it's stressful at first, you kind of need that.
Yeah. A little bit of that kind of pressure to kind of like ramp up and be like, okay, like, we have to figure something out. We have to do better.
And yeah.
Yeah. Things just absolutely clicked for them. Something that I really like to see is Kyle Anderson getting 20 minutes.
Yeah.
My goodness. Talk about it. Just his size against the Pelicans, who are a super big team. They have a lot of like good athletic tall wings, and something that I wish had happened in the Clippers game was a little bit more of Kyle Anderson. I feel like he should have seen any more than the 3 or 4 minutes he did get, because I think he would have done really well defensively to fight for some of those rebounds. And yeah, he ends up with, I mean, only a couple rebounds, but I mean, just defensively getting in passing lanes and getting in people's faces, like, just being physical, especially against someone like Zion or Brandon Ingram, just being another body there to kind of help, like, all of that is so important. So getting him involved a lot is going to be critical throughout the season for the Warriors, because they kind of need that veteran presence in those further in the game lineups, like the second and third team. And he's just one of those guys that are reliable.
Absolutely. And Kyle Anderson, that's a player that's been in the playoffs the last 4 seasons. So I think the Warriors can absolutely and should benefit from having Kyle Anderson on their roster. Jump shot, you know, it was 0 for 9 last night, rough shooting night for him, but, you know, I'm not going to worry about it. Like,
when everyone else was just literally on fire, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's like, we'll live with it.
Like, how can I complain? Like, yeah, all right, 0 for 9, but you won the game by like 18 points. Like, it towards the end, like, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't close. So
yeah, kind of just fell out of the Pelicans' hands, and then it never really seemed to,
like,
go back their way at all.
You got Pat Spencer and Reese Beekman and Guy Santos coming in to, like, close out the game. That's, you know, that's when you know the game's been put away, and that's is what it is. I mean, like,
no knock on them, but like,
no, yeah, not at
those,
all.
Those are just the end of the bench guys that, I mean, are going to be seeing their fair share of the G League. So
yeah, it's good for them to get some run during, you know, as much as possible during the regular season and with the NBA club. So it's like, yeah, it's good to see those guys get out there. And that's when you know that the Warriors have probably put the game out of reach or far enough to let those guys play and work on their game.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But going back to let's talk about the Warriors depth with the emergence of the Lindy Waters game. Are there minutes to go around for Lindy Waters to be a consistent part of this rotation if he continues to play like this? I know that the Warriors are kind of going through some like injury problems right now with Steph and Wiggins being day-to-day now, and D'Anthony Melton is listed as out. We don't know how long he's going to be out for, but if he keeps playing like this and team gets healthy, what do you think Steve Kerr and the coaching staff has to do? Like, How do you? I don't know how you keep him off the floor.
In a team that has so many options at guard and forward, Lindy Waters at 6'6" falls into that. Can I be a two guard? Should I play, you know, small forward at times? As the question that you're stating, like, where does he kind of fit with all this? I'm thinking he probably, with extended time of Steph being out and D'Anthony Melton not being available, I mean, we could see Lindy playing, I mean, the second ball handler for this team. Like, if Pods needs to come out, I feel like Lindy could absolutely handle that job, and he might actually just end up being the one, and having him pair with, I mean, maybe Moody at the two, or him and Gary Payton take the guard spots, and Moody comes in at small forward for them. That's an option. But yeah, just after last night, they're going to have to figure out a way. They need to start extending games just to get these guys more minutes.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. It's like, I don't envy Steve Kerr and having to figure out like who to give minutes to and when and how and why. It's especially on a team where it's like all these guys can play.
Yeah.
So even the G League guys, like, they could, there sometimes I've seen, you know, Guy Santos, like, in international play, or when he was with the team last season, like, future's bright, but for the team right now, like, yeah, man, it's
his opportunity to produce anywhere near what he did last night is completely contingent on Steph and D'Anthony Melton being out for however long they are.
Right.
Wiggins might move him to a, probably closer to just leaning him into the one or two guard.
Yeah, I agree. But
yeah, it's hard to not talk about bias.
Right. Especially without bias. Yeah. Like, especially coming off of like what we all witnessed last night, where, like, I just had no idea, like, Lindy Waters kind of thrown into you know, the rotation because of injuries, and he absolutely shows up and plays 30 plus minutes because he's playing so well that Steve Kerr cannot take him off the floor.
Yeah, I mean, 8 rebounds and 4 assists to go with the 20 points, 21 points, or yeah, it was 21.
Yeah, like, totally, yeah, took just momentum of the game.
Like, he had defensive stops, like, he was putting pressure on the ball. Like, there's so much to appreciate what he brings on the floor. And Kerr loves those guys.
He does.
He will die for those guys. And I mean, I'm sure there's going to be times where Lindy Waters is going to, you know, not look great. And
yeah, there's going to be off nights. That's
nature. Kerr is always going to go back to this memory, this game, the Lindy Waters game. He's like, I know what he can do. And he's going to commit to this guy. I don't think it was entirely a joke of him saying, oh, it's going to be a 13-man rotation.
No, I don't think he's joking at all.
Like, that was probably like, yeah, get ready for this, guys. Like, we are going to do this.
Because he can play, and it's like, it's no, I don't know, I don't want to say it's no surprise or no secret, because, like, we've seen it. We've seen him do it during the preseason, and now we're seeing him do it in real game time, you know, like, minutes, like actually do it. And yeah, let's see what happens moving forward, especially, like we're saying, with their injury problems right now. Like, there's going to be a window for him to really show out.
Yeah. I mean, what are your expectations for him tonight against Pelicans on the back-to-back?
Ooh, good question. You know, I think they're going to ride the hot hand. They'll probably try to get him involved, like, pretty early. But I could see them running with the same lineup as they did last night. which was let me pull it up here. It's Pajemski, Moody, Buddy Hield, Trace Jackson Davis, Draymond Green. And then you see JK and Lindy come off the bench. But I don't know. It's weird because to preview the game tonight a little bit, playing the same team two nights in a row at home, it seems kind of weird. So it's like, do you just kind of like copy paste, rinse, repeat the game plan of last night? And the Pelicans roster tonight is going to look different than last night. They also got a laundry list of injuries right now. With DeJounte Murray, obviously had the fractured hand earlier this season. He's missing extended time. Trey Murphy had the hamstring injury going into the season. So they're both out. But we saw Herb Jones take a fall going for a ball. I think Pajemski, Pajemski kind of landed on his shoulder weird. Yeah. And so he's going to be missing tonight. And CJ McCollum is going to be out tonight with a right adductor injury. So the Pelicans are going to be short-staffed tonight. And yeah, I could see Lindy Waters just having the ultimate green light.
another game of maybe near 30 minutes, but... Yeah, I'm curious to see how many minutes he gets. And yeah, I wonder, do we know the starting lineup for the game as of right now? I haven't seen anything myself, but I'm curious to know if Moody is going to get another start.
Let's see if anything broke by the time, while we're recording this right now, because I haven't seen anything, but we're almost an hour or a little less than an hour until game time.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's got to be some sort of lineup. All right. I don't really know how to read this screen that NBA.com has, but it looks like let me share my screen real quick. Maybe you can help me decipher this. But it is looking like, all right, can you see this?
Yeah.
So it's looking like it's going to be Pods, okay. Buddy Hield, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, and Trace Jackson Davis.
Okay.
And for New Orleans, we got Jose Alvarado, Jordan Hawkins, Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, and Daniel Tice.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, Wiggins is back, which is a positive sign that he's feeling better from his lower back strain. But so now another man in there.
Yeah,
And JK is probably going to be six man.
Yeah, they'll bring him in
pretty early. I think he came in around like the 7 minute mark in the first quarter.
Yeah, they have to bring him in early. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Interesting starting lineup. I liked Moody in the starting lineup. I feel like he offers a lot offensively. Like, he's a consistent shooter and he's a good and willing passer.
Mm-hmm.
But also, Andrew Wiggins has had a really good start to a season. Like, before this injury, he's the team's leading scorer. So
yeah, and he's been rebounding really well too, and it's been a problem for the Warriors at times in the past. But
yeah, and it was a big problem to start the game last night. It was like they just couldn't get a rebound. It's like,
yeah,
if you can't get a rebound, you're not going to win a game.
I mean, it's exactly what happened against the Clippers, just failing to rebound any of the defensive boards. Offensive is just like, you're giving the game away. You're losing possessions. You're giving the game away at that point. So yeah. Just staying on top of rebounds is so important. And yeah, Wiggins is so good at doing that. So that's definitely a positive. But yeah, Kuminga's got to come in as a six man. And then what?
And then probably bring in Moody and Lindy GP2.
Like, my guess is GP2 and Moody would come in. I mean, are they going to play pods for 30 plus minutes again?
I don't think so. I feel like a lot of guys' minutes will probably be restricted a little bit just because, like, guys played so hard last night.
So let's say Pods comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Is Gary Payton coming in? Or is Lindy going to come in?
I feel like
Lindy's going to come in.
Yeah, I feel like Lindy's coming in. And is this after JK checks in?
Yeah, this is all after JK checks in.
So I'll say JK goes in for Draymond.
Yeah.
So Draymond's sitting, which means you don't have a ball handler.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like Lindy could.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
I feel like Lindy would.
Yeah, Lindy and Moody.
I don't know how Steve Kerr does this. Do you think he just kind of just does it on the fly? Just like...
He probably goes to ChatGPT. He's like, please help me. How do I manage this roster with rotations in an NBA game?
Right.
Yes, we're playing the Pelicans shorthanded.
Like right now.
Yeah, 20 minutes. I need to submit this.
it should be an interesting game. I don't think, like, there are no easy back-to-backs, even with a short-handed team. Like, there's always the element of surprise, but
I mean, a short-handed team, they're just gonna, you know, they're gonna just do their best. They're not gonna have, you know, the highest of expectations with the amount of guys that the Pelicans have out. And I mean, they still have Ingram, they still have Zion, and those guys both put up 30 points last night.
They did not have an answer for them.
No.
That question has yet to be answered. There's also Yves Missy last night. He was 4 for 6, 9 points, but two big, big blocks.
Okay. I thought you were trying to say Micić. That's a different guy.
No, Misi,
I have not heard of this man.
Yeah, I don't watch many Pelicans games, so this was my first time watching him in action, but he is one of those, like you were saying earlier, Roman, like one of their big athletic forwards that can potentially cause havoc.
Right.
So maybe a guy like him surprises us.
That's who blocked Kuminga.
Yes. That was a crazy block.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
That made me bummed out.
I didn't even know who. Oh, it was insane. I didn't even know who it was that blocked. I was like, did that just happen?
Right.
Like,
I thought,
how did you get blocked?
I feel like we rarely see him get blocked. Like when he's running to the rim, like full head of steam, it's like, get out the way or get dunked on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's got crazy vertical and crazy athleticism. So it's not someone I would expect to try to be blocked and met at the rim. Yeah, that was ridiculous. Misi, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Warriors still have a problem at center. I mean, they're still just juggling pretty even minutes with TJD and Looney, but
yeah,
you know, both of those guys have been, I mean, super effective with their play time, but
yeah,
how do I even describe it? I mean, they're not perfect players,
right?
And there's times where they don't match up well with the opposing center, or they can get kind of exposed by the opposing team just pulling them out. But
yeah, I think we saw that in the Clipper game big time.
Yeah.
But we also see there's this like nice move Looney had last night. It was kind of like a post spin move kind of thing, like shimmied his way to the basket. It was very slick, very nice. But
yeah.
Yeah, I think for at least in recent history, the center has always kind of been a question mark for the Warriors. They've kind of always played without a traditional center, and they've had success doing so. And then I think Kevon Looney, he's been an absolute gem. Like, and TJD, he's also on that path. Like, he's played well in his young career so far. But yeah, there's definitely, he's still learning the game, and there's going to be tough matchups for him. And the Pelicans, I think, are a tough matchup because of the size and athleticism they have, especially with Zion. Like, when he's healthy and going, like, he's pretty impossible to stop.
Yeah, he's just a he's a big body that will back you down, or I mean he can hit outside shots
He
and he'll
can.
just jump over you and dunk over you. Like he's just all around so talented, and he is yeah, he is very difficult to stop. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see what kind of adjustments are made to try to mitigate those two, them
Yeah.
being, you know, like the primary scorers even now with being so shorthanded.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll be kind of curious. And yeah, the Warriors, they only had 13 free throw attempts last night
Pretty crazy.
compared to 24 for the Pelicans.
Yeah, the Warriors, they dominated the turnover battle last night. I don't have the stat for how much points off turnovers, but it was a lot.
Oh yeah, 23 turnovers for the Pelicans, only 7 for the Warriors.
Yep, and that's a recipe for success. So you take care of the ball, like,
Yeah, 15 steals. Jeez. Yeah.
yeah, I mean, if they keep playing defense like they were playing last night, I think could feel pretty good about securing a win before hitting the road. But yeah, we'll have to see.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I mean, the Warriors also shot twice as many threes than the Pelicans, so
That makes sense.
there's that. I mean, yeah, I kind of it felt like that too last night. Yeah, no, I'm excited to see all the adjustments from both sides.
Yeah.
Another question I wanted to ask you though
Yes.
is, I mean, I wish I was able to ask this after the Clippers game, but I mean that's still kind of fresh.
Yeah, it's fresh.
Do the Warriors need to make a trade?
Not right now.
No.
Yeah, I just don't know, like.
I mean, just like it, would you give up an amount of this depth that they have right now for a big name?
For a big name. Ugh.
Like I'm not gonna put any name out
Right,
there, but
right.
like
Just a big name.
let's say Kuminga and other pieces, other parts.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if they were to make a trade, I feel like Kuminga would have to be included just because of his contract situation. Like, the team, the proposed team could re-sign him for a new deal after the season. But
Yeah.
yeah, right now at 3-1, I like what they got going on. I would like to see, I think after the Celtics game,
Yeah.
I think that this whole upcoming road trip, because they'll play the Rockets, who I think they're a good team. Like,
Yeah, they're not bad.
they're not bad. They got a lot of good young talent, and they're not like, they don't have good young talent like Portland, where it's like they're very much rebuilding. It's like they are figuring it out in real time. And like Sengun, he's a stud. Jalen Green has been getting better. They got Fred VanVleet, who's a great shooter. So yeah, the
Yeah.
Rockets, they're a good team. And then they play the Wizards, who, I don't know. I love Jordan Poole, but
I love Jordan Poole.
love Jordan Poole. And he's having a great season so far. So I love
Yeah.
to see that.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting
But that's kind of all they got going for him.
reunion.
But then after that, they played the Celtics, the Cavaliers, the Thunder, that all on the road. And then they come back home and they played the Mavericks and Grizzlies. So the schedule is about to get real tough real soon.
Yeah, that's a pretty tough stretch of road games against good and very good teams.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we'll have a better idea of how this team measures up against like the top teams of the league, like in November. But definitely that Celtics game I got circled, not just because it's the Celtics and they are the defending champs, but they're just a really good team. Like, it's not just the threes, it's the team defense, it's the screens, and it's the depth. Like, they are front to back, like, they're a tough out.
They are currently down to the Pacers, 96-112. Yeah, 8 minutes left in the fourth. It's okay. Not an out of reach game, but
no.
It looks like the Pacers are just having an on it night in terms of shooting and just efficiency. Yeah,
Pacers, they're an interesting team.
They've got talent. I'm kind of excited to see a full experience of the Pascal Siakam and a higher emphasis on Benedict Mathurin. I really like him. He's super, super cool. Very good basketball player. Very good scorer. The Pacers do have a young and feisty team.
Very well put.
They're going to be a fun watch in the East, which I feel like is
totally
kind of in a weird place, the Eastern Conference, but
it is, because especially after the Knicks trade, it's like, oh, maybe I need to start watching more Knicks games and see how things are looking now. But I feel like game one, it looked kind of bumpy. And then we got the whole situation in Philadelphia right now with Paul George is out, Embiid. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with Embiid right now. But that's supposed to be a team, like, on paper, is like, that could be a top three team.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, health concerns just kind of chip away at teams that on paper look good. And, you know, there's always been a history of Paul George dealing with things throughout a year, and he'll come back, play well. He'll have his MVP stretch going into the playoffs, and then playoff P. But we'll see if they make it there in the first place. They are currently down to the Pistons by 20 points.
That's rough. I think a team like the Sixers being kind of down and out right now, that opens up the door for like the Pacers and for the Cavaliers, who are currently beating the Lakers 105-127 with a minute 27 left in the game. Oof. Yeah, the magic is, I like the Magic.
Magic are cool. There's part of me that really wished Klay Thompson went there instead.
Yes, dude, me too. And I thought that's where he's going to go. Like, that fit works.
Yeah, they could have really, I mean, they still can use someone like that, but yeah, it's not even because it was going to be him out of the West, but I mean, yeah, it just would have been great because Paolo Banchero is so good. I mean, Jalen really Suggs good. Is awesome. Franz Wagner.
Yeah, Wagner.
He's lethal. And yeah, he just would have been, oh man, just a perfect,
That's
perfect
what they were
spot.
Missing last year too. Like, they didn't have that steady three-point shooter. Now they got KCP, which I think that was a great move for them. But yeah, I would have liked to see Klay in that jersey. Like, if he wasn't going to wear a Warrior jersey, I thought the Magic would have been a cool fit for him. But Klay, he's been off to a great start too. And the Mavs, I think they've been having a good season so far. So I'm happy to see Klay having some success out there.
Yeah, I actually watched a little bit of the Mavericks Timberwolves game last night, and I think Luka dealt with an injury kind of late in the game, but the Mavericks were already kind of pulling ahead at that point, so he was out for the rest of the game. So we'll see how that injury affects them going forward. But yeah, Mavericks look good. I mean, the Timberwolves did look very good. The Mavericks just
look better.
They just still have such a good roster. They have such a good roster. Luka is incredible at scoring. Like, yeah.
And you just add Klay Thompson, who's kind of, I feel like he just gets open. Like, because there's all this attention that's going to be around Luka, around Kyrie. It's like, you can't sleep and forget that you got Klay Thompson like wide open, like one of the best 3-point shooters to ever do it. Like, So yeah, good for Klay and good for the Mavericks.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to be an interesting team in the West to watch, just having gone to the finals last year. Going to be some expectations for them, but
yeah, for sure.
We'll see how that all plays out.
Yeah. Season is very young. A lot of games to be played, but we're happy to cover or to talk about it the whole way there.
Oh yeah. I know, it's just starting. There's so much more to see. So much more drama, like just atypical NBA drama to happen. Trade demands, teams falling apart.
Oh, yeah, it's the greatest soap opera.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Unscripted.
There's some selfish part of me that really wants to see the Bucks break up Giannis and Dame in some way.
Yeah, I don't like what's going on in Milwaukee. And it pains me to say that because I am a big Damian Lillard fan. Like, even when he was with Portland, I was always rooting for his success.
Yeah, no, but, he's just a good person, a great player, and yeah. I wish he went somewhere else.
I know. I thought it was going to be the Heat.
I know, the Heat. I mean, it's still an option, right? they can make it work.
Yeah, I feel like if they don't, it's like, what do you think it would take for them to break it up, like? Would they have to be a first round exit or be second round exit?
I mean, let's start with the Bucks start winning games.
Yeah, that's true.
They're 1-3.
And it's not looking good. I saw a post on social media that it went over like their record since Doc took over, and then their record before Doc
got the job. With Adrian Griffin?
Yes. Yeah. And they were winning games with Adrian Griffin. They had a winning record. And then Doc comes in, and I'm not going to, you know, point the fingers like, oh, this is all Doc Rivers' fault. But the numbers, say otherwise.
Not the same.
The numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, it's kind of disappointing to see because, like, especially as Warriors fans, the amount of Damian Lillard playing basketball that we've watched.
Yeah.
In just great games against the Warriors where he's playing incredibly well in the Warriors.
Out of his mind.
But, like, we hold him in such high regard, and as Warriors fans as well, we have great appreciation of Giannis.
Yeah, we sure do.
Fondness of Giannis.
Since that All-Star game, right?
Yeah, that bounce pass in 2019 between Steph Curry. Regardless, but like pairing those two beloved players, you know, from our perspective, it's like, dang, like that should work out really well, and not even that far removed from a Bucks championship,
right?
That they got in what 2021, like yep. that wasn't so far away, and they still have so many parts of that team, especially the starting lineup, that's
still there. Yeah, so a lot of those guys, like Pat Connaughton, so yeah, Lopez, Chris Middleton, like I go down the list.
Yeah, there's still so much there that, on paper, like we've said, like should work out, like this should produce wins. This should produce, you know, like S tier content. Like,
yeah,
you're watching like two incredible players play together on the court.
Like they should be rivaling the Celtics.
Yeah. Oh, like absolutely. But
they're not even in the same stratosphere.
No, things have just looked super disconnected for them. So that'll be an interesting watch. I don't want to, you know, put the expectation out there that it is going to be broken up and maybe some players get moved around to certain Western teams.
I think there's some validity behind that because Giannis had some cryptic answers in like an interview where he said like, oh, like if we don't win, like I could, you know, even I could get traded.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like, I mean, it's something to be aware about as a player, right? Like
right.
If you are not producing, if you are not winning games, regardless of your name, your status, your contract, like you are a piece.
Yep.
You are something that can get moved. And the GM, the ownership group, like they can do what they want. They can move you to a different team if they don't like the situation. It would take a very dramatic and very awful start of the season for them to pull the trigger like that early. I think if anything, they start getting rid of other pieces around Giannis, and then maybe next year, if things are still really, really bad,
yeah,
then they might consider that. I think given the pieces that they still have around him, they would move those first
to try to
build another contender around him at the very least.
Because, yeah, like Giannis, he's an all-world talent. Damian Lillard, you could say that about him as well. Like,
mm-hmm.
And I think their games kind of, they should complement each other because you think of Giannis, you think like he dominates inside like the three-point line. You think of Damian Lillard, he's got the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, maybe things get turned around sometime in the season. I've seen it before. Teams just kind of turn it on and get on a hot streak, get themselves in good playoff position and make a run. But it's just something to keep an eye on, especially with, you know, all the teams that are also going through their own issues, their own changes, and they want to make a trade. They want to make a move thinking that it's going to solve all their problems. So
yeah, like what's going on with Miami right now?
They're just kind of doing Miami things. I don't know.
They're actually playing right now. They're playing the Knicks and they are down 89-81 with 10:25 left in the game. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I never am concerned about the Miami Heat because Eric Spoelstra is their coach.
Yeah, he's such a good mind for the game.
Yeah, I think he just knows how to get that team, like, or just not just that team, but a team. Like, it's like we'll go to the play-in and then we'll win the play-in and we'll make a run.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good manager of people. And
yes.
He's also an incredible basketball mind. And I feel like that's a huge problem for a lot of head coaches, is they don't know how to manage, I mean, any player's ego. Because everyone wants to play. Everyone wants to contribute. And it's kind of figuring out how to do that. And I mean, in the case of Steve Kerr, he's lucky to have pretty egoless stars to manage.
Right.
Draymond, Clay, and Steph. I mean,
yeah.
Never really had problems with them. I mean, Draymond is a little too interested in fisticuffs at times. But
that's a part of the experience.
Yeah. It's part of the experience.
But like, yeah, going to the talking about like the ego, the lack of ego on, you know, the Warriors have had, like, historically, like we had Steph Curry at the height of his powers in his prime coming off the unanimous MVP year. Welcome in Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant for those 2 years or 3 years with the Warriors, he was the best player in basketball.
Oh yeah. I mean that whole team was just lethal.
Yeah. I mean,
They almost went perfect throughout a postseason. losing one game in the finals to the Cavs. I didn't expect them to lose a single game. I honestly thought
it didn't look like they were going to.
It honestly seemed like it was some like TV like rigging behind the scenes string pulling where they're like, we cannot have this happen.
Yeah, like that's so much money left on the table too. Yeah.
We can't have like only this many games, 16 games. That's it. Like we cannot have this.
Yeah, but, that team was so good.
Part of me really like misses watching that type of beautiful basketball that was just so absurdly dominant. It was kind of just like convenient to watch. It was like, I don't have to stress.
No.
I have nothing to worry about.
It's like you were shocked if they were in a close game, like coming down to the wire, like, hold on. Like,
yeah.
Well, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then when they did lose, it was like a surprise. And then, but man, that good time.
It was a run. Yeah, good times. But yeah, that's just, I mean, yeah, to the original point, like the egoless aspect of these stars in Golden State, it just makes managing the roster so much easier because Steph Curry, as like the level of player that he is, this superstar, this all-time all-world talent, if he is just like, I'm cool, like we just got to make it work, like we like I'm fine, you know, making things work for other players, like that sets the standard for everyone else.
Yeah,
because he's at the top, he's the top of the list for like, what do you want?
Yeah, and like if you're, you know, let's, you got Steph at the top of the list, let's say you're one of those guys that are not at the top of the list and you see the guy at the top of the list being, you know, a total selfless player, like just team first guy, it's like, now you got to follow suit. You know, it's like, if he's doing it, that means I have to do that. Like,
yeah,
it's cool. It's the culture. Absolutely. And Jonathan Kuminga last night, he was asked about coming off the bench and he had a really nice quote. I forget what exactly he said, but it was something along the lines of like, it's like, I just, you know, like he just wants to go out there, contribute to the team and help them win.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't care about being, you know, like being a starter, like being in the starting lineup. Like he just wants to play and help them win. And
that's a great mentality to have kind of going into this situation for him, especially with his contract being that kind of looming threat over him almost.
Right.
But I mean, I don't want to say this to sound like I don't believe what he's saying, but that could be a bit of media training and saying what you think people want to hear.
It's a very professional answer.
It is. But like, I would also expect Kuminga to be very direct and blunt about something like this, because in the past he hasn't held back all of that stuff. Like he's gone out of his way to go talk to people about his complaints about his situation.
Yeah, that was so crazy.
I mean, yeah, I would like to take his words at face value here.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll see what JK's got in store for us tonight. But yeah, I think is there anything else that we wanna talk about?
No, I think we hit all our notes here, and
yeah. Might went a little over today.
To throw out...
But it's all good.
Oh yeah, we got close to an hour. Ooh.
It's all right. We always a good conversation, and if you guys are still listening, thanks for coming along on the ride. We appreciate it. And Warriors take on the Pelicans tonight at the Chase Center in T-minus 26 minutes if you're on the West Coast, 7:00. But thank you guys for tuning in. And until next time, see you guys later.
See you guys later. Thanks for listening or watching.